ahead and start that. Okay. All right, so welcome to Community Engagement Frontier introduction. So two things we're going to cover in this session, and one is just a very brief reintroduction to the frontier, followed by a very quick recap of where we stand with regards to letters of interest that were submitted. And so that's sort of a roadmap for where this frontier is going to be putting its efforts over the next few months. And then finally, a quick view of the breakout sessions over the next 2 days that are related to our frontier. So I am Reese Quinn. I, along with Katevi Azamagan, are the conveners of Community Engagement Frontier. So let's start talking about our LOIs that we have received. Okay. So let me go to full screen there. Okay. Community Engagement Frontier. Let me just check one thing real quick. Okay. So what the Community Engagement Frontier is, it is a frontier of efforts for our field here in Snowmass that is broken up into these six topical groups that you see on the right, covering things from applications in industry, career pipeline, diversity and inclusion, physics education, public education and outreach, and public policy and government engagement. All of these are organized to this highlighted line in our description to improve and sustain strategic engagements with our communities in order to draw support for and strengthen the field of particle physics while playing key roles in serving those communities. So to two parts of that sentence, each have a bi-directional character to them. Strategic engagements with our communities. So that's there are sort of two sides to that. Three of our topical groups are sort of focused sort of within our HEP community, that community, namely the career pipeline and development, diversity and inclusion in the physics education are somewhat inward focused. But then engaging with our communities that we live in. Outside of HEP and the group's applications in industry, public education and outreach, and public policy and government engagement really speak to that aspect of what our work is. And then the second part of that, what we're doing this for, there's sort of two directions for that. One is to strengthen the field of particle physics. You know, all six of these topical groups, all six of these groups of issues, are important to making our field as strong as it possibly can be. But then we have a lot more purpose to us than just making HEP strong. And that is we have a role to play in the communities in which we live to help make them stronger. And so how our community integrates with public policy, our educational role to society, and also our benefits to society through industry and the applications of what we do. So these are the things that Community Engagement Frontier is concerned with. And one thing that we try to point out is that community engagement, whichever aspect of this you pick. Community engagement is something that every single one of our members of the high energy physics community needs to be actively engaged in. Everybody doesn't have to do applications in industry. Everybody doesn't have to do career pipeline and development. Everybody doesn't have to do diversity or physics or public education or public policy. And by everybody doing that, I mean doing the work to develop our programs and everything. Most all of these, everyone, they need to be a part of how we go about doing our work in high energy physics. But by not everybody needing to do all of these, I mean not everybody needs to be an expert and actively working to develop programs in those things. But everybody needs to pick something that they're contributing to the development of these areas of our field. And we can't just leave it to a handful of our colleagues to do for us. So that's what Community Engagement Frontier is all about. So at this point, we have just, you know, recently finished collection of letters of interest across all the frontiers for what things we think are important for our field. Okay. And so for Community Engagement Frontier, we received, there are 99 letters of interest that were, that mentioned, that relate to community engagement. 73 of them are with community engagement as the primary frontier to which they were addressed. So we've been through the process in our topical groups of sorting, organizing, and condensing them, working towards transitioning into a period where they are converted into sort of white paper work groups is what we call them. So we've we are organizing them to get people that are interested in common areas together to form work groups that will be working towards putting together contributed papers that will be part of the SNOMASH report. So that's what we'll be doing over the next couple of months, is really forming and getting those white paper work groups started. Okay. And so there'll be, you know, schedules as we, over the next month, by the end of this month, we are shooting to have a pretty mature schedule and milestone plan of how we're going to be carrying out this work. So keep your eyes out for that. So let's look at what we have in the different topical groups based on the letters of interest that we received. So at this point, what I'd like to do is, I've just got one slide with a brief overview of each topical group. And if I have one of the conveners of each topical group, I will invite you to just say a few words on the slide about your LOI organization. Applications in industry. Let me see. Are one of the co-conveners here to say a few words about that? If so, please unmute yourself and go ahead and tell us about your topical group LOIs.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not sure if my colleagues are here. Farah, are you here?
Yeah, like I'm here, oh. But you can summarize if you want.
Of course I can. I just, yeah, okay. So, what we decided to do in applications and industries to carry a number of standalone workshops. And for those workshops, so we split all the LOIs, we received 21 LOIs. And we split them into sort of 4 to 6 groups, depending, and we will hold the workshops, one on the flash radiography, another on tech transfer from the national labs, on the industry and the vendor development, and joint workshop with Computational Frontier, and also big business and engaging with big business and a spin-off and process of launching spin-off companies from the national labs. So basically these are the 6 areas that we identified where we can categorize all the LOIs received in one of these 6. So every person who submits an LOI should receive at some point an invitation to present at the flash talk or longer workshop. And based on that, that would form a basis for the future activities. So for everybody who submitted the LOIs, we much appreciate it. Thank you very much. And stay tuned to receive an invitation to present your ideas at one of the topical workshops in this list.
So Alex, you also actually mentioned that there were not all of your topics were covered in the LOI submitted. Could you say a little bit how you plan to widen the scope and stuff?
Yeah, so for, I can answer that, Alex. So for example, this engaging with big business, that was an area that was not covered in any of the LOIs. And that is how we decided that we needed to widen the scope a little bit and do discuss about that. So that's the reason why we added that additional topic of engaging with big business. And then there were, like, for example, some areas very well represented for co-development with other applications, like, for example, flash radiotherapy in connection with accelerators. But for example, things with instrumentation frontier or cosmic frontier, co-development of other applications was not included, or there were no relevant LOIs there. So that's why we kind of added a few other areas as well.
But just to add to this, I mean, we meet at least once per every 2 weeks. And of course, a few people that form the sort of core of this group where all the discussion takes place, of course, it's not enough to cover the, basically, we don't have sufficient depths of interest to cover all relevant topics. So everybody's welcome to, I mean, it's part of, as Bree said at the beginning, it's a matter of the entire community. So anybody interested in applications industry, please join us and join our discussions. And hopefully we can widen the horizons of this group and add additional topics presently not covered, just because we are either out of bandwidth or just don't know that these issues exist and they require some additional coverage. So please join us during the next few months for the discussions. And if you have any suggestions, those are most welcome.
So Alex and Farah, what about the time of your meetings? I think you said that you might review that or do something.
We plan to add another meeting because we had the meetings at 6 p.m. Chicago time. So that's inconvenient for Europe. So Farah is going to organize another additional meeting, which is in the morning, which will target to bring more European participants while we keep in the normal usual meetings. So it's just additional development.
Okay, all right. So we'll need to move on along. We got about 15 minutes left before the next sessions go on. So let's move on to the next career pipeline and development. Do we have one of our co-conveners that would like to say a few words here? Okay. All right. Well, I will just go ahead and cover this, that you have a link there. If you're interested in career pipeline and development, you can click that link to see a lot of details in the topic areas, the LOIs that we've received for all the ones that are related to career pipeline and development. And you see the categories there, about seven of them that that they have organized all of their submissions into. And so there are some areas that are, very specific to careers. But most of these you see overlap with some of the other topical groups, enhancing HEP research in four-year institutions and community colleges. That's very closely tied in with the physics education as well. Diversity and inclusiveness in HEP is its own topical group, but it absolutely has a lot to do with career development. Facilitating transitions to industry and career ties in very closely with what we just heard. So you'll find that a lot of these categories and topics in the different topical groups are very much interrelated. So that'll be a common feature. So take a look at those, and if there are any topics here that really grab your attention, we encourage you to go on to our wiki and join those meetings. Oh, and by the way, I will say, just to help you, that you click on almost anywhere on this page, and it will take you to our wiki, the hyperlink straight there. Okay. Our diversity and inclusion topical group is one of our co-conveners here. Okay, Katevi, can I ask you to say a few words about this, since you've been very deeply involved in their work?
Yes, I can say something about this. So in the diversity and inclusion topical group, there were a set of areas that were identified by the conveners themselves. So these are the ones that are within the first main bullet as primary. And then what the conveners did is that they went through all of the LOI and then tried to identify which one falls under each of these category that is mentioned there in terms of accessibility, funding agency recommendation, climate of our field that may be conducive to less diversity and so forth, educational resources, in order to promote diversity and lifestyle and personal wellness, and how maybe some of the things that we do, like the time of the meetings and so forth, may not be conducive for some people's participation or people with families and kids and so forth, and how to make sure that those people get participate at full level, at full strength. Underrepresented and marginalized communities that everybody is talking about, try to increase their presence. And then, you know, some of these, like Bree said, are related to other other topical group, like recruitment, evaluation, recognition, making sure that issues of diversity are taken into account or paid attention to. And the last one is societal impact, which include environmental impacts and a host of other things, like using tribal lands for research and stuff like that. And this may form a different topical group who hear from the steering committee when they have done that. But nevertheless, there's one group of LOIs that are assigned to that. So there is that organization. Then the conveners try to identify which one of these LOI should be led by other topical group. For example, building the pipeline, recruitment, evaluation, recognition basically fall under that category. So that should go into the career pipeline and development. Societal impact, I just mentioned that it will become a new topical group. Education and outreach to underdeveloped represented community probably should go into outreach and education or in collaboration with them. And then they also try to identify which submitted LOI apparently doesn't fall under any well-identified categories. So there's one of them, and the idea is to try to make sure that it's properly reassigned. We don't want any LOI to just fall under the crack. So how to reassign that we have to be able to discuss in our topical group and also in our community engagement frontier. We may send it over to another frontier if necessary.
Okay. All right. So let's move to the next, and that is physics education. Okay. Would one of our physics education conveners like
to? Hi, Breeze. This is Randy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, Cybron DeJong is also on, so there are two of us here. And I would welcome him to make any comments he would like also. We have basically groupings of LOIs. We received 29 into our physics education group, and they run quite a gamut. Career and education, which dovetails quite closely with a number of others. General education from K-12 and up. This was something that was originally perceived to maybe be public education, but that got subsumed under here, and we're interested in physics and science education to early levels to help build the community and get people into careers in physics, but also in other ancillary areas. So this is part of it, particle physics specific education, and this has to do with the traditional teachings that we've been done, but now with expanded resources and lots of interest in the community to work in various types of projects within the field, this is now expanded. In this regard here, I might mention that we have the younger members of Snowmass who are very interested in this domain as well as others, and they have a lot to say about what's the value of what's there. They're experiencing it now and so forth, so this is great. There's the topic of global software issues, and this includes open science. This goes generally also into the public domain, but is also an area that impacts what we do, and that includes a broader set of public education connections. So this group was originally sort of particle physics specific, but it's really a systemic approach. And we've got 20 years in Snowmass to work on this, 10 and then 10 more for vision. But I think if you were going to really want to make a difference, a project that I worked on in the past, and I see Michael Barnett is on here, QuarkNet, that's been going now for over 2 decades, and its origins go back and are driven by the field and the needs of the science, but also then really expand out more broadly. So 20 years is an important time, because somebody in middle school now will be a faculty member just starting at the end of the decade, around 2030, 2040 in that domain. We have some ungrouped elements, but they're relatively small, and we'll figure out what those are. To give you some information about the group, we meet every Tuesday at 1300 Eastern Daylight Time for about an hour. We always run over a bit, but people are welcome to that, and we're going to follow up now based on the interest that comes in from the CPM meeting. And also contacting the people who've submitted these LOIs to get these groupings organized so that we can put some important white papers together. I guess that's our message here.
Okay, well, thank you. And speaking of running over, we got about 5 minutes left, so let's blow through these the last little bit. So public education and outreach. Who would like to say a few words about this?
I can go ahead, Bruce.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. We have analyzed the LOIs, and we have categorized them into early career, and education and outreach to underrepresented communities, as well as facilitating access to HEP data for educational purposes, and this is where we can. Collaborate with the physics education. We also have another direction, which is leading to international outreach, and this will be interesting to also collaborate with the next group on policy and government as well. And of course, of interest is the expansion to non-traditional outlets, and this will be looking at STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So that's all what we have now, and we invite colleagues to come and join us when we invite them for discussions. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Osmond. And then finally, our public policy and government engagement. Do we have a convener from this group here? Okay, well, I'll say a couple of words about it then. So public policy and government engagement is something that really grows out of what we've done very well for a long time now, and that's our advocacy to the federal government for HEP funding. That's been very successful, particularly over the last several years since P5. And so that's one of the topics that this topical group has been organized around. But then also they're looking at using our advocacy expertise for non-funding issues that may be important to the HEP community. And then also looking at advocacy to non-congressional, non-federal congressional, state, local, those types of things. Are there roles that we could play there that would be helpful for HEP? And then finally, what kind of training and education do we need to do of our members to ensure that our engagement in policy and government remains strong? So like the others, there are some that some topics that have gotten LOIs and some that haven't, and you'll find that that's common in CEF is that we'll have to do a little bit of recruiting of people to work on some of the issues that are going to be important. So that's what's going on in public policy and government engagement. And then for all of these, I would recommend that if people are interested in any of these topics that will become working groups, to go to the wiki, find the calendar, and start, you know, showing up at meetings for the topical groups that spark your interest. Now, just very quickly, look at what CEF has over the next couple of days of breakouts. The sessions for CEF on today, we've had our introduction here. We're about to go into a break. But there's one other CEF session a little bit later this afternoon on cross-community mobility in science, how the different members of our community, physicists, engineers, technicians, how they can move back and forth to do different types of work in our enterprise. That's going to be at 1300 today. There are not a ton of CEF sessions by design because, as we say a lot, you know, nobody here just about is CEF your day job. And most of us would like to be engaged in the, you know, research areas, the physics research areas of Snowmass as well. So we wanted to give you time to do that. But we do have this one today. And then to point out the things that are going on with CEF Wednesday a little bit more. We start with a big plenary session, community engagement across the frontiers, where Aswin Dini will give an introductory talk. And then we'll be posing questions about community engagement to representatives, mainly the liaisons, to all the other frontiers, talking about why CEF is important to their frontiers. Then we have a session on HEP and Accelerator workforce careers and training. So this is largely to do with the career pipeline and development and the physics education working groups. Those are some of the main topics here. So that will, and that one's jointly with the Accelerator Division and maybe computing as well. I think computing frontier also. Then there's a connection with industry session. It's obviously largely pushed by our applications and industry folks, largely, and also with the Accelerator Frontier. And then finally, we'll have a wrap-up planning session for CEF where we'll start to really set the roadmap for where we're going to go from here and start the first processes of getting towards working groups. And that'll happen at the end of the day tomorrow. So that's it. Everybody remember and check the link that Catherine put in the chat for please take the CEF survey so we can get good data on what's going on in CEF in our field. So please click on that link, take it. Lots of break times here that you can get it done during one of these breaks. So, you know, go ahead and do it right now as we finish up. Any last quick questions before we sign off into break? All right. Well, thank all of you for coming this morning and look forward to seeing you at different CEF meetings and working on our working groups as we go forward the next few months. Have fun over the next couple of days. Take care, guys.
Well, thank you. Bye.
I just wanted to let people know if this room will stay open. So if people need to have discussions or chats or plan things, you're welcome to do so here.
Thank you. And I'll hang around on here if anybody has any questions.
Hey, Bree.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi. Left so I can take my mask off now. I just had a, I was thinking about what you said about how nobody does the CEF as their day job. And I was thinking that, I mean, there are people who do science outreach, who do this sort of communication as their day job. Like I saw Katie Jepson was on here earlier.
Yeah, she's our one professional CEFer.
Well, there are, you know, there are others. And I was just thinking like, you know, obviously, I think it makes the most sense for it to like come from the heart of the community, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But any thoughts about like inviting more of these professionals
in? Well, yeah, in the public education and outreach working group, topical group. We have had a series of meetings where we have invited the public engagement folks from various labs to come and give, you know, talks about what's going on, how they're approaching public engagement now. And so we have invited them on. So we've had, you know, Rebecca from Fermilab, and we've had folks from SNOW and CERN, I think, and I'm going blank now. But about four or five lab reps we've already had.
That's great.
And Catherine is really the only one that the only sort of professional engagement person that has been, you know, actively involved in the group. And so the other, you know, you could also imagine some of the other working groups reaching out to get representatives like that. Like, for example, you know, the diversity and inclusion, you know, getting the diversity, you know, officers of labs or things or universities, you know, contributing and part of what's going on. And I will say Farrah's got her hand up, and she may be saying that applications in industry is one area where there is a lot of engagement in the topical group from the professionals in industry. So Farrah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. Like, for example, we have included people from the Office of Partnerships and Technology Transfer, and we are trying to, both from Fermilab as well as from CERN, and we are actively looking at other labs and university Office of Partnerships and Technology Transfers to be included. And these are professionals who are doing that. And yeah, we benefit from definitely inviting other professionals, you know, to be a part of the working group. Yeah.
Yeah, I think just my comment here is that I think we will have to do a lot of the reaching out and inviting, simply because, like, I've talked many times of how I consider myself sort of like not always know of these sorts of things, or not the print, you know, and I only found out about this accidentally, so. A lot of these sorts of things, there are people who could add to us if they knew about it, or if they knew they were welcome, or if they, mm-hmm. you know, knew that we wanted them. So for instance, you know, you mentioned all these outreach groups with the different labs. Like, they have a lot going on, but they would have so much to contribute. So
another aspect,
a lot of you are welcome, we want you, you know, right. Like, proactive work.
Another aspect of that too is for us to be able to do the job well, not just the aspect of welcoming them and getting more people involved, but Brian, I don't know if you heard the okay, Connie, I see, and I'll get you in just a second. I don't know if you saw the town hall presentations yesterday, but Brian Nord gave a presentation about you know, some of these issues. And basically he was saying, you know, we need to, one of the big points he made is a lot of times we dealt with sort of the DEI issues by, oh, okay, we'll do a survey, see what the climate is, then we'll have a committee and make a couple of, you know, policy recommendations, and then that's sort of it, and not a whole lot changes. And a lot of time it's because we have not involved experts in the field, right? And we've tried to figure it out on our own and just sort of make a committee and, ooh, what should we do about it? And then, surprise, it doesn't have a huge impact. And so he made a point about really working to get experts involved in the process. So we can, you know, that's definitely a good point to bring up to our topical groups to strategically, you know, start making efforts to get professionals in these areas involved if they haven't already. Connie, please go ahead.
I just wanted to say hello. I'm not sure if I would consider myself a professional, but certainly somebody, it's part of my day job for doing outreach with the general public. I've put in, this is my first time involved in this NOMAS thing. Every time I try and join a meeting, I get lost. So I'm sorry I came in late.
Oh, no problem.
Path now, but it's really very interesting. I think the energy that's behind all of this is terrific. It really is terrific. And I think Cindy's got a good point too, to bring in people whose kind of day job it is. But at the same time, when I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, even perhaps those whose day job it is, how successful have they been when we find ourselves today in a climate where so many people are mistrusting scientists? You know, maybe it hasn't been so well. So I think maybe not to rely too much on the professionals, but really look for some new ideas and to get some real new discussions going. And I can talk about the stuff that's done at CERN, but it's nice to be here anyway. Maybe there's a further opportunity for discussion.
Yeah, thank you so much for being part of it. And I absolutely understand the difficulty of trying to make different meetings and stuff. But I know the public engagement and education and outreach would love to have your contributions there. Yeah, the thing about, you know, having a mix of experts and non-experts, actually there was, you know, we sort of intentionally selected most all of the topical group co-conveners to not be the professionals so much, and to, you know, and to try to select them to be the physicists, because at the bottom, this is SNOMAS. This is a SNOMAS process for planning the future of high energy physics, right? We're not generally planning the future of applications in industry or generally planning a general future of physics education. And so so it was important to us that the motivations or drivers be directed from the HEP perspective, but to really try to actively pull in the expertise and the advice and collaboration from folks who know a lot more about it than we do. So I really hope that those partnerships really are fruitful over the next few months.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions as we move forward? All right. Well, thank everybody for Ben, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Ben.
Can you see me?
Yeah.
Great. So I am a recent assistant professor coming out of particle physics with ATLAS. Mm-hmm. And just trying to figure out, so where I've landed is actually back in my alma mater, which is an undergrad pretty much teaching university, right?
Yeah.
And I would love to stay involved and get students excited for the, you know, field. And I just don't have either great ideas of how to do that yet looking to connect with.
Let me point you to something if I can pull it up real quick, see if I can find it. I'm going to share my screen and navigate to somewhere. Let me see. Where am I? Here's what I'm looking. Okay. So you see my browser there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So if we go to the community engagement frontier, you know, if you just go to the SNOMAS and then click on community engagement and then go down to our Indico page. So the link to our Indico.
Got it.
In the career pipeline and development, there was a meeting let me see if I can find it real quick. And that is going to be right up your alley, I think.
Right. And
not that one. Let me see. I can find it real quick. Anyway, it was, there was a meeting specifically about, PUIs, primarily undergraduate institutions, and doing, you know, being engaged in particle physics from those institutions. And, oh goodness, where is it?
Right.
Here it is. There it is. Okay. So it was a meeting on July 6th.
Okay.
And Julie Hogan from Bethel and Matt Ballas from Cornell, and well, from Siena, and he's got partnerships with Cornell. They gave presentations on exactly this thing, you know, how, you know, the challenges and solutions for folks at undergraduate-only institutions, you know, participating fully in HUP research. So there were some great, great points and ideas there. And Julie is serving as one of the conveners of the Career Pipeline and Development topical group.
Great.
So I would absolutely encourage you to, you know, try to start, you know, getting engaged with that topical group. And so they have meetings on Mondays. And I can't remember if they're Monday, if they're every Monday or every other. Okay. But it's on the calendar. It's on our calendar. So that's it. Those are the folks that I would encourage you to get connected with. Yeah.
Is there anything right on that topic during the SNOMES?
Yeah, they have LOIs about this topic.
Right.
So there is going to be work in the SNOMES process over the next few months. There's going to be work involved in dealing with this issue of, you know, how to really integrate and support the our colleagues at PUIs. I think that it may be addressed a little bit at the meeting tomorrow, the panel session in community engagement. I think it's on the docket for the folks in the energy frontier to address a little bit.
Great.
And, but yes, it's definitely on their list of LOIs and topics to form working groups around. And so yeah, they would very much covet your interest and efforts in working on that for SNOMES.
Great. Thank you.
I think that's a really exciting thing because, I mean, one, you know, there are specific challenges, you know, to doing that. And, you know, there are a lot of, some people have done it, you know, some people are doing it successfully, but it is not obvious how to make that happen though.
Right.
and there are real roadblocks to it that have taken work to figure out solutions to. But you know, and then there are the benefits beyond just, okay, we've got folks in our field that are in these institutions, how can we keep them connected and active? But then also, you know, many of those institutions can play a really big role in helping to address our issues of DEI, right? Diversity in the field.
Because right.
Many yep. of these institutions have a much more diverse student body and local community, you know, yep. than a lot of the R1s. And so I think they could put it, they're a very important component of the field that we need to put some thought into.
Yeah. I agree.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed seeing that over the last, you know, decade or so. You know, when I was a graduate student, that just wasn't on the radar of anybody for that to be a career path, right?
Right.
And it's exciting to see that open up. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Oh, very welcome. All right.
Rhys, can you, sorry, this is Connie again, who's lost sure. in the maze of SNOMES. Can you just go through how you went to the link to get to the meetings that are coming up this week on this topic?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that I get to it is this, okay, because I never can, you know, find all the emails and where it's supposed to come from and everything. So let me just start at the beginning. So if I just Google in SNOMES 2021, okay, that's going to get you the SNOMES page, right? And so from there, not even having to scroll down anywhere, right down here, the community planning meeting, okay? If you click on goals and tentative program, it'll take you right to the Indico page for this meeting. And then there are links here for the timetable. So you can just click on the timetable and you get today's crazy session of all the things that are going on, okay? And then there are also some other pages that you can look at it in different forms, okay? This is a little bit easier to see by time. You know, you can sort of look through what's going on in the different rooms. And there's a list view.
So it's always the same Zoom room 8 and the same password?
For the CEF.
Yeah.
And so they've tried to organize the sessions in rooms. Like this room is mainly Energy Frontier. This room is mainly Accelerator Frontier stuff all the way through. It's the same password for every room, though, I believe.
Okay. Reese, may I comment directly on this?
Oh, yeah, please. Go ahead.
So we set this up. It's the same password for every room, for every meeting. So as Bree said, we set up these, they're not really tracks because almost every meeting, as you can see from the table on the right, other than the intro meetings, are brought together by multiple frontiers. So Bree, for example, at 11:30, there's things that are going on that have energy accelerator theory, yeah, neutrino rare processes theory, and things like that. So CEF is in general in this room 8, and sometimes in room 9, I believe you have some joint sessions in room 9.
Yeah.
And those links up above should bring you there regularly. And it's the same password, and we don't plan to change the numbers unless we have a Zoom problem.
Thank you.
So yeah, just browse around and just use whichever view is easiest for you to navigate. Okay. Well, I think we need to sort of wrap it up as we move to the next session blocks. So again, thanks to everybody for participating.
Sorry, I had raised my hands long
time ago. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Go ahead.
Anyway, I just wanted to comment on what Ben Pearson had said. I just wanted to tell him that he's not alone. The community of small institution professors is growing, and we need to make it strong. And so it's a good news that people are coming to these meetings and they have similar problems and to solve. So do come to the meeting, as you mentioned, and there are many people in the same situation and looking for similar solution. Thank you.
Great. Okay. I'll see y'all in different sessions. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Okay, so Brendan, do I just close this session and then another one?
So why don't you hit stop recording?
Okay.